It was a special Thursday night at the Plug-In Institute for Contemporary Art. Over 100 people packed the bleachers and floor of a room, waiting for the performance to begin. The guest artist, Christine Sun Kim from New York, was busy setting up her equipment. She directed audience members to hold piano wires tight at each end. Then she went around in a flurry of activity, taping small white circular objects to the wires. All was expectantly silent, a silence encouraged by Kim's own quiet presence. You see, the sound artist herself is deaf. She communicated via text on a projection screen, warning the audience to not behead itself on the wires and encouraging the crowd to make way for newcomers. The small white objects were transducers, the bottom part of speakers. They were attached to an island of sound equipment by coral wires, giving the impression of an electronic octopus. Then Kim started the show. A sound studio opened on the projection screen, and the first wave appeared. It sounded like an alarm at first, but the sound wasn't designed to be heard by the ears. It was meant for touching. One by one, the piano wires came alive with vibration. Christine Sun Kim encouraged the audience to circulate and touch all the wires. They did, marveling at the different vibrations, sometimes putting an ear up to a transducer to hear the sound that it was making.
It's not just vibrating, it seems to be a rhythmic vibration. It's vibrating and then there's some rhythmic overtones that are kind of interesting.
My name is Elaine, and the last name is Newhook. And I'll introduce the interpreter. His name is Scott. I'm a deaf individual, so I'm experiencing this today through vibrations and not through sound. I think it's amazing, actually, to be honest with you. This is the first time seeing something like this. I'm very impressed with it. Using wires, piano wires, it's a different feeling altogether, right? And so being able to go around, touch all these wires and feel the different vibrations, it's definitely a good feeling, good experience.
Performance, Art Plus Body, See Me Here, kicked off. The next afternoon, the audience shifted to the Winnipeg Art Gallery for a day of artist talks, performances, and a keynote address.
Good afternoon. My name is Susan Lambert, and I am the chairperson of Arts and Disability Network. Our nonprofit organization is dedicated to the full inclusion of artists with disabilities and audiences with disabilities into all facets of the arts community. We do this in part through resources, mentorships, and workshops, such as how to write a grant, how to approach an artist's rent center for an exhibition, and how to photograph your artwork. Our festival celebrates and shares artistic merit and inclusion of artists with disabilities, despite or actually because of their barriers that they have to face.
Art Plus Body was not only about showcasing and celebrating artists with disabilities. Its aim was also to show how the experience of disability and barriers informs and enriches the art itself.
My name is Debbie Pedersen. I'm a theater artist. I sort of started my career as an actor. And then when I developed MS and it started to affect how my body worked, I decided to develop my skills as a writer and director more so that I could still use the skills I had developed as an actor, but apply them in a different way that wouldn't require the use of a fully functioning body.
Debbie Pedersen read aloud from her new play, Sergeant and Victor and Me.
Okay, so this play, Sergeant and Victor and Me, started out as a verbatim theater piece and about the intersection of Sergeant Avenue and Victor Street in Winnipeg's West End. So what I did was I interviewed a whole bunch of people who live or work near that corner or who have ever lived or worked near that corner. And I wanted to get a sense of how that neighborhood has changed over the last 50 or 60 years, from being, you know, a great place to raise a family and a really strong community to being, well, let's face it, dangerous and a center of gang activity. So that's what I set out to do at first. And I interviewed all these people, then I transcribed what they said and created these monologues. So all the words in the play were other people's words. And this is Tom.
I think it is a little sad, you know, what's happening in my old neighborhood. I have a feeling we lived in, well, we lived close to, well, between two reserves, and we never saw. We lived there for a number of years. There wasn't blood. It didn't seem to be anything like that. I don't know what's happened to them. Well, now, I remember this story my wife's sister used to tell about this war bride when she came on the train, and the natives, they thought they'd really put on their best, you know, everything. So they were quite colorful with all their feathers and uniforms and everything else. But she took one look out the window and got off the train and went back home. Well, she was frightened. Well, she thought they were maybe just savages, but at the same time, they were trying to... Well, it was special. They never knew anything about Indians. Not that we're so knowledgeable now.
And I would perform this play. And at the same time that I was working on that, my MS, the effects of my MS were progressing, as they do. And it was harder and harder for me to perform it. I had to sit in a chair. I couldn't walk around like I used to. And at some point, I realized that what's happening to me is what's happened to that neighborhood. And I thought I could use my experience with living with MS as a metaphor for what's happening in Winnipeg's West End. And just when I'm thinking it may be time to find religion, the phone rings. Hey, sis. It's Rob. How are you doing? I'm fantastic. I just checked out my house on Google Street View, right at the corner on Sargent. There's a hooker. Great. Yeah, and if you turn the corner, she disappears, but if you cruise down Sargent, she shows up again. Busy lady. Yeah, so listen, it's Wednesday. You know what that means. Weekend's coming. Food bank. Are you in? Ugh. You don't have to stand up or walk around. You can just sit there and pack boxes. Just say yes. Rob, just say yes. I don't feel like it's in a church basement. I know you like church basements. It's true. I do like church basements. Say yes. Say yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Fine. I'll come. Yes! I'm scanning the room, but I can't see Rob. Just a bunch of messed up losers who have hobbled through the cracked sidewalks of this flat gray city to converge on this dismal church hall in order to score some wilted iceberg lettuce and an expired can of tuna, the goal of their whole pathetic day. And the only reason they have to do this? Their bodies or brains stopped working properly. They're broken, like me. Oh, now I understand, Rob. You've been insisting I come here and help at the food bank because this is where you think I belong. These are my people. We are the lame. I run out of there. Well, lurch gracelessly. And I know I'm being a jerk, but I can't help it. I don't want to have anything to do with these people. They're gross and pathetic. And I can't even storm out properly. I try to push the door open and it's too heavy, so I have to push the button and stand there waiting as it slowly creaks open. It's raining again. Perfect. A gray drizzle. I stagger around the church to the parking lot. It's got to be at least 100 meters, so Blanche is getting sloppy. Oh yeah, Blanche is the name for my left leg. I've named my legs after the Dubois sisters from Streetcar Named Desire. So this is Blanche, who relies on the kindness of strangers. Okay, Blanche is getting sloppy. It's a crack in the pavement that gets me, grabs the edge of my dragging left foot just as I've thrown my weight forward to try to propel it. I fall hard in a puddle. Delicious.
My name is Jeremy Rusu. I've been blind since birth. I started playing music at around age 5 or so. I got my first real piano, and other instruments sort of came into my life as either people bought them for me or I wanted to learn them. And I play in quite a few different bands, a lot of different instruments and things. So pretty much that's all I've been doing all my life, really. It's all different styles of music, pretty much anything anyone wants. I've always been blind, so I've never really thought of doing things any other way. And because my mom saw this talent that I have and plunked me in front of instruments at a very young age, and truth be told, music's been one of those things where, because I've been doing so much of it, I've actually lost out on other areas of life, such as mobility and you know, like transportation, just more independent living skills and just other things that I wasn't, you know, I was a kid, so I wasn't interested in those kind of things. And the system sort of saw I wasn't interested in doing them, so I wasn't encouraged by them to do them.
Jeremy Rusu is usually more of a band guy than a solo guy, but he was a jazz piano major in university. At Art Plus Body, he played three jazz tunes, his fingers strong and nimble over the piano keys. Art Plus Body also featured a performance by Burton Bird, Canada's first deaf Aboriginal hoop dancer. Clad in a red and white costume, Bird danced in circles while handling up to 21 white hoops with red ribbons attached, forming images like a snake, turtle, or even a person riding a horse. Bird has been dancing since 1989. His teacher would teach anyone who enjoyed dancing and was willing to learn. Being deaf was never a barrier. In a conversation held by writing back and forth in a notebook, Bird said that hoop dancing is a spiritual way to express himself. Nigel Bart, who works in many media, including sculpting, painting, pottery, music, poetry, and video, was diagnosed with schizophrenia at age 19. He talked about how he uses his unique perceptions in his art.
I use my hallucinations, whether they're auditory or visual, I use them in my art. Often we don't talk about that side of someone's perception and how that's used in someone's art. Just like, you know, if you're deaf or if you're blind and how you perceive the world around you. In my case, my barriers are within my head.
Western society has yet to develop a comfort level with the diverse messiness that constitutes the richness of our humanity. We find the discomfort shown in many ways in the negative associations that are still attached to society's understanding of disability, which is often linked to language that stresses so-called ugliness or defectiveness.
In her keynote lecture, The Normality of Doing Things Differently, Reclaiming Art Through a Disability Lens, Dr. Nancy Hansen from the University of Manitoba Disability Studies Program discussed how the art world has historically and continues to this day to exclude the experience of disabled people from our cultural landscape.
Whereas progress has been made by curators incorporating richer accounts of marginalized population groups within museum and gallery collections, with regard to issues of race, gender, and Aboriginal issues, disability issues have yet to be viewed along the same identity continuum, and therefore, if they're represented at all, they're not represented with the same care, largely. At present, few, if any, galleries or museums show the experience of disabled people. There is a high level of uneasiness associated with impairment, and curators may believe that they are in a difficult position, caught between fear of insult and treating disability as object.
Still, there was good news to share.
People with disabilities are engaged in a cultural reclamation project. We're no longer content to be absent citizens on the cultural landscape. Disabled people throughout the world are laying claim to cultural spaces on their own terms. A case in point, crutches, as designed by the able artists seated beside me, wheelchairs, and hearing aids are no longer simply assistive devices that fade into the background.
And here, Dr. Hansen showed us slides of beautified crutches and wheelchairs.
Instead, they have become points of disability culture and pride.
Art Plus Body, See Me Here took place on the evening of October 10th and afternoon of October 11th, 2013 at the Plug-In Institute for Contemporary Art and the Winnipeg Art Gallery. In addition to the artists featured in this program, there was an artist talk by Alice Crawford about deaf culture and the Winnipeg deaf arts scene, a stand-up comedy routine by Ryan Ash, and a visual art exhibit featuring the work of Alice Crawford, Kara Mason, David Carrer, Diane Dreger, Marie LeBlanc, Ron Dinney, Shauna Reed, Susan Aiden Abbott, and Yvette Senarini. This report was produced and narrated by Sarah Aronson, with additional recordings by Julian Cooper. The music featured was Jeremy Rusu's jazz piano performance as recorded live at the Winnipeg Art Gallery on October 11, 2013. To learn more about the Arts and Disability Network, please check out their website at www.adnm.ca. Thanks for listening.